You are listening to Diabolical Deeds, radio version of A Status Spy Tells All.
The author and producer dedicates the 12 30-minute programs to everyone who believes in freedom, our Constitution, and small government.
No part of this audio script version may be reproduced in any form without the permission of Frank Landry Enterprises, LLC. Its content was taken from a political novel and is based on real events. No radio station or participant speaking parts therein are to be held responsible for its content. It is the sole responsibility of Frank Landry Enterprises, LLC. The purpose of this project is embodied in the author's prayer that his grandchildren will know the same abundance of freedom that his generation has enjoyed. Our founding father's vision must not perish from the face of the earth. Frank E. Landry. Diabolical Deeds with Fred S. Creasy, played by George Kaler, and David F. Lindy, played by Frank E. Landry.
Program 2 begins now.
David, who will worship the same God? Teach old progressives a new trick.
Well, my Bible says Jesus told Thomas, the doubter, to touch his resurrected body. He said, "See, I'm not a spirit, but rather resurrected flesh and blood."
You speak well for jocks. We know our same spirit is a sleight of hand. Most who use the title Christian actually aren't true believers, so they'll buy it. Building blocks for our humanist New Age One World religion are like Christians. Not jocks. Our belief system will eventually fill the earth. Your old age, tired religion will finally be gone forever. Believe me, there's millions of us waiting.
So you admit that humanists have a religion. Tell me more about humanism.
David, the Humanist Manifesto was published in 1933. We explained in this great document that each person is the center of his own universe and a god. That's why humanism will solve the world's problems. We're tired of waiting on gods represented by Muslims, Jews, and Christians to fix the world. Problems. Our progressive world government is the next thing in the ascending chain link of evolution. We'll have our own heaven on earth by educating everyone to live under our supreme state of socialism.
I get it now. The term sheeple has a totally negative meaning and is used to denigrate any individual or group of people who fight you. Am I right, Fred?
David, you're beginning to think deeply about this. I like progress. It's time for me to set you straight on one word that we're going to be dealing with all day long. That word is government. From now on, I want you to think of a capital G when reading or saying the word. Your idea of government is never going to be the same after today.
We are getting to the nitty-gritty conspiratorial stuff that I need to know.
David, government is your life giver and life taker. It's your provider, your protector, your refuge, your great physician, your peace, your comfort, and your true justice. I think I'll show you how we control the sheeple masses with a story about five monkeys. Are you up for it?
Sure, tell me your monkey story. I am a good listener, and I can tell you are a good storyteller.
David, shepherding our flock is a good title for this lesson. Story begins with a cage that contains five monkeys. Inside the cage, we've hung a banana on a string and placed a set of stairs directly under the prize. Soon a monkey goes to the stairs and starts to climb towards the prize banana. When the target, a monkey, puts his hand on the stairs, we spray all monkeys in the cage with cold water. Except him. Eventually another monkey tries to climb the same stairs. Guess what happens? I'll tell you, the others prevent it. At some point, you can put away the cold water and watch. This process has trained the monkeys in such a way as to make a lasting difference in the society. Then we remove one monkey and replace it with another who's not seen or experienced the cold water treatment. Of course, the new monkey sees the banana, decides to climb these stairs. You know what happens to him? Here's the kicker. Each new monkey, we call him Mr. Sheeple. Will forever conform to the new norm, which is now opposite to what his natural tendency once told him to do. After repeated attempts and attacks, each new monkey knows his or her boundaries.
You certainly know how to tell a story, but is it a true story?
The interesting thing here is this. The new ones actually don't have a clue why they're doing it. They don't even need to be sprayed with cold water to attack intruders who aren't complying with the cage's social pattern. Nevertheless, we will no longer have any monkey attempt it for the prize.
Fred, that monkey story makes a lot of sense.
This same monkey logic explains why abortion on demand has become so acceptable around the world. It's been taught that if you challenge the political wisdom of the day, political correctness, if you please, you'll be beaten down by the media or by the country's legal system. Think about the education system. If you believe in special creation, you'll be ostracized and refuse tenure. Eventually, every monkey accepts every change. In fact, we can now take a baby that's lived through a botched abortion and let it die from lack of care and nutrition. Soon, we'll be killing old people who are a drag on our world's universal health care programs.
Fred, that sounds like what happened at the Holocaust in Germany.
David, We're determined to have smart deaths this time. And your kind are helping us more and more every election cycle. You're so soft and uninvolved.
Tell me how we help you.
To put it in political terms, barely half of the 67 million eligible Christian voters registered in 2008. And it gets better. Only 50% of those who registered chose to exercise the right to vote in 2008. Voting for biblical values was the last thing on their mind that election cycle. Many Roman Catholics voted for Mr. Obama while knowing he was for abortion and every possible form of it. So-called Protestant Christians didn't vote against a professed supporter of baby killing either.
Fred, Christian voters overlooked the abortion issue. They were also tired of voting for candidates who promised one thing and did another. Thinking Obama would be different, many voted for him in 2008. Many Republicans, including George W. Bush, failed conservative voters with spending sprees like W.'s drug plan and the Iraq War.
You got it, Mr. Lindy. We are training you not to go after the banana. We especially want Christians to think they're wasting time to vote. This election won't be any different. Believe me when I say that your kind's day has passed you by. The new game in town is our new world order. You're going to get on board or you're going to lose it all.
Fred, there was once a slogan posted everywhere preceding and during the American Revolution. A rattlesnake was on a yellow flag, ready to strike back. This flag was known as the Gadsden Flag after its creator, Revolutionary War patriot, Colonel Christopher Gadsden. It came to be known as the symbol for fighting any kind of intrusive big government, externally or internally.
I'll admit, don't tread on me. There are signs everywhere these days, but it won't work this time. Hear this. Our candidates can spend whatever it takes to slander and malign any challengers.
It does seem that no one gets elected unless they have big money backing them. Nevertheless, we must find a way to elect Bible-believing conservatives who live by its values.
David, remember these political facts. Jocks got their Nixon, Reagan, and two Bush presidents. We liberals got Jimmy Carter, Slick Willie, and Obama.
Wait a minute, Fred. Don't you dare put Ronald Reagan in that group of names. He was the only one that was the real deal. I think it's time to walk.
Answer me this question. How did Bill Clinton come up to believe that he was a great man? As he called them, only require 5 hours of sleep a night. I'm waiting. David, I have many more, you know.
I do know, and I do care. However, I missed that all-important Clintonian nugget of truth you just gave me. Besides, Dr. Archibald Hart says everyone needs 10 hours of sleep to allow their heart to restore itself. So tell me, who taught Bill Clinton this lie?
David, you're kind of funny. Let me say it this way. Every globalist mogul knows this trivia. It's important to know about Bill Clinton's favorite professor who enlightened him on that 5-hour-a-night game-breaker idea.
And his name was?
Sorry, I like games. The answer is Professor Carol Quigley. Slick Willie's mentioned his name on many occasions during his $80 million speaking tour since leaving the White House. Christopher Anderson made that statement in his book, Bill and Hillary, The Marriage. I hear Bill believed everything this professor taught. Later I'll reveal more of Quigley's secrets. That's the reason that I've included his name in this session. David, you understand the Clintons a lot better when you know the man behind the curtain.
When will you pull back his curtain, Fred? Who really is this Quigley? And who were the villains around Reagan?
Advisors are often placed around presidents by global moguls to guide them. We help rising stars make decisions. Reagan believed a shining city on the hill propaganda. He also believed his speeches on tax cuts for growth, and we played on his strengths and shaped his speeches as much as possible. Nevertheless, Reagan often took our words and used his own. He made us nervous, to be sure. But David, I'm 78 years old and proud to be an Eastern Establishment money mogul.
I'm 68, a little younger than you, and honored to be a Jesus-only Christian. You need him too, Fred. We can just have prayer together right now.
No thanks, David. But I cannot believe that you said the first three words of my coined first letter phrase for Christian sheeple. I do amaze myself sometimes.
What in the world are you up to now? Please go on. I can't wait.
Jesus only Christian. That's all I meant, but there's another word to it.
Jesus only Christian means there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. That means you too, Fred. That key truth is found in Acts 4:12.
You're the real McCoy, David, and what we call dangerous. Jock is the four-letter word for Jesus only Christian kook. I've called you that for a long time.
I won't dignify that comment with a response. Who recently ignited your movement in America, Fred? I mean, the who, when, and where?
George H.W. Bush began the huge rollback of national sovereignty around the world with his proclamation that will stand out in history books when we win. After Obama was elected, he began to proclaim the same kind of message. David, sit back and relax. We'll be moving on up.
What were Mr. Bush's words that made you so proud? And where did he make those glorious globalist statements? By the way, when did Mr. Obama make the same kind of statements? And to whom did he make his? And tell me, don't they both undermine our Constitution by these statements you are so proud of? Did anyone call them out after these anti-American proclamations?
David, their words hardly got anybody's attention. George H. Walker Bush made his acknowledgement of us in his first State of the Union speech, proclaiming our famous three words. President Bush promised us that our waiting was over, that a new day was dawning. Those three words were, New World Order. And he said them at least four times in his 4 years in office. Mr. Obama said these very same words in his first United Nations speech in 2009. We're proud of both men.
Are you saying George H.W. Bush and Barack Obama are globalists? Are you saying that they are undermining our Constitution for a New World Order Constitution that would supersede ours? Fred, I need to know.
You are listening to Diabolical Deeds, radio version of A Status Spy Tells All.
Maybe someone else put those words in their speeches. I'm just saying, anyone wanting to confront the money mogul legal wall can do so.
It seems that this is what our two-party system has become. Sheeple are confused, that's for certain, as to which banana to reach for. Just like you said earlier today, leaders say that the Constitution of the United States is no longer considered a valid document to be used to govern our country. Is our military being used around the world to make every country on the globe part of a new world order? Is it that? Is it all very evil like I'm thinking it is? Well, if it is, I'm sick of it. Ron Paul says he'll stop this kind of stuff.
We've made sure his name won't be mentioned by our talking heads unless he's besmirched or lambasted by those mysterious racist letters of 20 years ago. Besides, America was created to lead the world into its future. The glory of America is just that, making our new world order. Don't forget it. Conservatives have been brainwashed into thinking that it's patriotic for America to police the world. Sean Hannity leads the way for us with his radio show's lead-in song. How does it go? Forgive my musical talents, but here it goes. You'll discover if you mess with the USA, we'll put a boot up your... You get the idea, David.
Not bad singing of Hannity's theme song. So you think Sean is for a one-world government? That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. I'm giving Hannity the benefit of the doubt. He's just selling products with his I Love America theme. But make no mistake, many of us want America to be a shining city on a hill. The world was supposed to want America's kind of freedom in their countries. America was never to go around the world making them bow down to our occupying demands. Your plans have bankrupted our country, making us borrow from the communist Chinese government. Have I got the picture yet?
Let me correct one thing. Here's the rest of the story. America did not borrow from China. It got nearly $1 trillion to fight the Iraqi war, including more billions for America's subsequent bailouts from China's central bank. Chinese people don't own that bank, just like you Americans don't own the Federal Reserve. You understand all this better after today.
Fred, do you think George W. Bush was influenced by his father's failure to take Saddam out in the first Gulf War? Or was it globalists who wanted war with Iraq? Surely W. knew all the spending would put America trillions in debt to an equal or even more dangerous ideology, communism. What say you about my theory?
David, Chinese people, like the American people, have no idea that the one-world moguls control their economies and their country's citizens' hard-earned savings through our puppets around the world. We give every country's money away to build our one world kingdom. This inflates all currencies around the globe, but we gain from that too. Of course, for now, your savings are somewhat safer than citizens of most countries, being that we set the world up in your favor by pegging oil to the dollar. But when the day comes that we pull the rabbit out of the currency hat, inflation will run rampant. Owners of the central bank's stock must make money too.
Does the Federal Reserve really have stockholders, Fred? Why do you globalist money moguls and your friends need so much control over every country's economy?
You're getting ahead of me. Furthermore, we've split America into two major political parties to have more control. I can explain that too, if you need more understanding. We have only so much money to spread around to our candidates and just so many advisors that we can trust with our message. That's why you see the same names in different administrations, no matter whether Republicans or Democrats win. Some friends follow successful candidates up the political chain, but the majority of advisors come from the powerful elite groups, like the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. People who promote our New World Order fill the halls of Congress and the White House, no matter who's elected. Our agenda is never going away, David, and don't you forget it. We're going to make a better life for everyone. Trust me.
Fred, are you saying it would benefit us to have more political parties? Don't we already have an independent party plus many others? Americans will rise up if they know what to do. Maybe after today, I will be able to tell them.
David, we have way too much control over the world's population for you to be able to make any substantive difference. Don't waste your time. You'd be one man shouting into the darkness to a world that's not listening. Actually, your side doesn't have enough workable solutions for a victory over our plans.
Don't you be so certain of that. After today, I'll have what you know, plus what I've learned over 40 years in business and politics.
I have the Lord to lead me into all truth with His Holy Spirit guiding me. And that's why I am still here for you. You need saved.
Nice try, David. We all have the answers and the money to back them. It takes money to make the world move. Money's that all that can move it. We intend to own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You're going to be begging us for food just to live. In fact, I should tell you a Bible story next. You're going to be surprised at its ending.
Did you say that my kind would be begging your kind for food to feed our families? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It also says that the righteous will not go begging for food. It also says that God is in total control, even of your own thoughts. You should read Psalm 139 some night, I'd say.
Listen to my Bible study and learn. Genesis 47, verses 13 through 22, tells your whole slavery story. It's going to soon befall your family. We know your Bible better than you do. Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph told him that it meant a 7-year famine was coming. Pharaoh was advised to buy up all the grain in the nation. Actually, he nationalized the grain industry by buying it all up and storing it. When the famine came, the people brought Pharaoh's government their money to buy food for their families to eat. When the money ran out and failed, as King James so eloquently states, the king initiated an animals for food program, which kept them fed for another year. Then the people came and offered Pharaoh their land and their bodies. In other words, David, the Egyptian people and the Jewish people willingly became slaves of Pharaoh and his government.
You are listening to Diabolical Deeds, radio version of A Status Spy Tells All.
A government taking over more and more. That sounds like what could happen in America. Fred, I know the Bible too. Listen to me. Joseph made Pharaoh give the people free seed to plant crops on the land they once owned, and then let them keep 80% of all their profits after harvesting the grain. So Fred, my Bible says that the people prospered under Pharaoh's government plan.
David, when Joseph died, a new Pharaoh came to power who didn't know Joseph. After seeing how the Jewish people had populated Egypt, new Pharaoh began to abort their babies. Pharaoh forced them to make bricks. He also plotted to eliminate them totally.
Abortions? We're doing that to the tune of 50 million since it started. Well, I'll not make bricks either. And Pharaoh? He was defeated. Fred, I'm going to bring all freedom-loving Christians, Jews, Muslims, Mormons, and even atheists together, and we will win. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, sorry. You do need to stop that smoking. Jesus can help you stop smoking. If you'd trust Jesus, you'd never have to smoke again.
You know, stopping smoking is easy to say, but it's harder to do. And as for your revolution, it's going to be impossible to do. I thought you didn't agree with these other groups.
Yes, that is true, but these are exceptional times. While we keep to our personal faith and religions, we will cooperate this time. We will make new treaties. And after realizing what has been going on with the central banking scams in each country and oppression caused by money moguls and their New World Order plans with its currency manipulations, we'll all start over anew.
Sounds promising. Why do you think it can be done without me as your guide? Remember, I'm on the other side's team. not yours.
It sounds like you could be persuaded. Fred, why don't politicians close our borders? A bill to do it has been passed.
That's easy to answer. There cannot be a North American Union treaty without open borders. Trucks need to go and come freely for our trade with the South and the North, and it needs to be done in a profitable manner. We're going to have a joint currency too before long. Count on it, David. Mexico, Canada, and America will be together like the EU. In fact, your tax dollars paid for Mexico's wall and its southern border, which keeps out illegal immigration from Latin America. America's outdated constitution and the Bill of Rights is going to become useless when we're finished with it. Eventually, we're going to be introducing our own NAUT rule of law to become the new legal document for all three countries. We'll replace all three outdated constitutions. We'll merge these into an America's Union, or AU, using Ameros as currency. Starting anew with our new currency, we're going to be begged for it all before we're done.
This all sounds like a Pharaoh plot to enslave us all. Fred, have you heard of oathkeepers.org? Their motto is, not on our watch. That is my motto too.
So, David, is that something new for us to downplay or overcome?
I know your kind. I know how you think. That sheeple are softies. Oath Keepers is a group of people who have served or who are serving in the military or are on a police force or in the National Guard who have taken an oath to defend our U.S. Constitution. That's all. They won't allow you to abolish our Constitution, Fred. Now, do you get my freedom drift?
Who heads this up?
The name is Stuart Rhodes, a lawyer and a former military man. Stuart and his loyalists are protectors of the Constitution.
Mr. Rhodes and his merry band of patriotic oathers won't change a thing, David. Everything's ready for the executive branch to declare martial law when the riots begin and the terrorists start their mayhem in America, if sheeple fight our plans. David, don't you think it's time to stop walking and sit down? That tree has a park table under it. It feels good to sit down. Listen to this by Alexis de Tocqueville. He warned you of all that we have accomplished. Let me get it on the computer. Listen to more, David. The dignity of man is not shattered in a single blow, but slowly softened, bent, and eventually neutered. Men are seldom forced to act, but are constantly restrained from acting. Such power does not destroy outright, but prevents genuine existence. It does not tyrannize immediately, but it dampens, weakens, and ultimately suffocates until the entire population is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid, uninspired animals, of which the government is the shepherd.
Fred, wait a minute. I'm going to turn around. I need to pull my coat collar up around my neck. The sun feels better over here. Thank you, Lord, for that occasional burst of sunbeams and warmth to an otherwise brisk morning chill. They also take away my frigid feelings listening to this Fred's New World Order. Surely you know how to change this situation. Americans have always shown a willingness to fight evil in the world. Somehow you must help me find ways to renew our Founding Fathers' dream for America, Lord. Status must not win.
There, Fred, I feel much better now.
David, are you with me? Come on back. Does staring off into the trees mean you're bored? Well, maybe this will wake you up. Here, let me get it on the computer. David, read and hear these facts. And I'm quoting. February 17th, 1950, CFR member James Warburg, architect of the Federal Reserve System, appeared before a Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We shall have a one-world government, whether you like it or not, by conquest or consent.
I'm not impressed by your hero, Fred. By the way, we sheeple will stop your New World Order. Like beavers, we will make a freedom dam. We will stop your diabolical deeds.
David, dams have been built before, only for the money mogul comrades to dislodge. 24 years later, in April's issue of CFR Journal, Foreign Affairs, Richard Gardner is recorded making this statement about how we intended to gain our future New World Order. I can quote him by memory. Here goes. The New World Order will be built, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. Only three of your heroes spoke out against this statement, David. Globalist money moguls called them the shrewd sheeple shepherds.
Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Who were they?
Congressman Larry McDonald, Senator John Hines, and Senator John Tower proclaimed the truth to no avail. Cooperating media friends refused to do in-depth reporting on the story. All three patriots later died in three different plane crashes. Now, isn't that interesting?
Larry McDonald? I met him once in Washington, D.C. at his office. His tragic death was one I will never forget. Didn't Senator Hines and Tower both die in small planes like young John Kennedy? Fred, let's talk about your health, though, and your eternal destiny.
We'll talk about Congressman McDonald's unusual air tragedy later. Don't you worry about my health or my soul, David. I have a lot more to share with you. So let's start. Ask me any question that comes to mind. I'll take it from there.
I must admit, you do have a brilliant mind. Fred, what exactly will this New World Order plan of yours bring about?
Actually, David, I'll admit I'm beginning to feel a bit sad for nice jocks like you. Even though we've traveled different paths, our lives do have a lot in common.
Thank you very much, but don't be sad for me. How about we stretch? That would make me happy. Let's walk a bit to loosen up the bones, Fred. Leave the computer here. We'll come back.
David, I never leave it behind unless it's secured in my car or at home. That's why I have a small light one. Fits under my arm. Here, see? Let's go.
Fred, we live in a free country. I have a right to share my faith any place, right? I'm teaching my grandchildren to give out tracts and how to share their salvation testimony, too. Do you think that really could be illegal someday?
Believe me, it's coming. Why do you think Christians are made fun of? Hitler did the same thing to Jews before he hit them hard. First came the jokes, then the ridicule in the public square. Soon they were identified and then separated out. Christians are going to feel the pain of brickmaking, to put it in Pharaoh terms.
You are listening to Diabolical Deeds, radio version of A Status Spy Tells All.
Fred, your kind really do hate Christians, don't they? Did you say identified and separated? How could that be done in America?
Hitler got all their guns. Finally, they were made to wear a triangle. You wouldn't mind wearing a triangle, will you, David?
Are you serious? I don't want that to happen here to my grandchildren. Fred, right now I'm praying that God will give me the courage to speak up and to help stop this from ever happening.
I think we should sit down. This is as good a place as any, David. You appreciate this letter to the editor of Richmond Times in Richmond, Virginia. See what your Cuban hero warned jocks about. You can decide its value. Listen as I read it. July 7th, 2008. He does make a good point. Beware of charismatic men who preach change. Each year, I get to celebrate Independence Day twice. On June 30, I celebrate my Independence Day, and on July 4th, I celebrate America's. This year is special because it marks the 40th anniversary of my independence. On June the 30th, 1968, I escaped communist Cuba, and a few months later, I was in the United States to stay. Then I happened to arrive in Richmond on Thanksgiving Day. It's just part of the story, but I digress. I thought a lot about the anniversary this year. The election year rhetoric has made me think a lot about Cuba and what transpired over there. In the late 1950s, most Cubans thought Cuba needed a change, and they were right. So when a young leader came along, every Cuban was at least receptive.
Fred, are you trying to say that President Obama is a Castro just because he promised and campaigned on change? While I don't like him, nor do I trust him, I will not let you go that far to call him Castro.
You've been listening to Diabolical Deeds, a radio version of the book A Status Spy Tells All, written by Frank E. Landry. The book and CDs of the radio version can be purchased at local bookstores or websites nodictator.com and DiabolicalDeedsRadio.com. The original paperback written by Frank E. Landry was published by Warwick House Publishers, Lynchburg, Virginia. No part of this audio script version may be reproduced in any form without the permission of Frank Landry Enterprises, LLC. The opinions expressed in this program are strictly those of the producer and author and not those of Centennial Broadcasting and its affiliates. Movie rights are the sole possession of Frank Landry Enterprises, LLC.